You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What is good, everybody? Welcome to The Look Ahead, part of the SB Nation NFL show. I am your host, Rob Stats Guerrera, alongside a man who is always with me on Thursday, RJ Ochoa. What's up, RJ?
How goes it, Rob Stats Guerrera? It's great to be with you. Great to be in your presence. I'll be honest with you, because I want to be honest with the listener. We're trying a new platform, you know, to put this show together, and you froze for me for like 4 or 5 seconds. So I don't know if that was just me, if that was the listener. That may or may not have heard that, but you know, just so you know, for a moment there, I was all by myself and I did not enjoy it.
Well, I'm sorry if that happened for you people. We're trying some new things here. RJ is very opposed to it, but we're going to do it anyway because change is always difficult, RJ. So we're trying it out. Got the look ahead theme in the start of the show. Did you even know that that was the theme of the show?
Of course I did, Stats. I mean, I don't listen to the whole thing, but I mean, I always go back and listen to the beginning. I mean, it's the best show on the SB Nation NFL show, which, by the way, everyone can watch on the SB Nation NFL YouTube channel, the SB Nation NFL Twitter page, the SB Nation NFL Facebook page. You would think I wouldn't have to be the one that has to plug those things here on this show. You know, I have to do that on Mondays. But people can also listen to it wherever they get their podcasts. You know, search for us, your preferred podcast provider. Subscribe, leave a rating, write a review. Those things are helpful. And if you leave a review, we will read it. Stats, we have a new review. Are you ready for me to read it?
Oh, baby. Lay it on me.
All right, this this particular review, it's about a week, maybe 2 weeks old, so, you know, that's on us. But we didn't have a show last week, to be fair, because of the draft, so not exactly our fault. So April 22nd, 2022, I like the double 22 thing here, comes to us from Doc_Daddy. So I don't know if it's like a Doc Ock situation, maybe Doc Ock's father, who knows. It's a 5-star review, so thank you very much. The title of the review is cut off from me on my phone, and I don't want to read it because it will kind of give away the subject of it. So I'll skip the title. Here we go. Hey guys, as a longtime Chiefs fan, I listen to a lot of NFL podcasts, but SB Nation is in the top 3 non-Chiefs focused shows that are must listens for me. Hopefully Doc Daddy Arrowhead Pride is at the very top of your list. My favorites are the ones with Rob Stats Guerrera and RJ Ochoa hosting. Love the back and forth between those two and the actual NFL insight contained in the often humorous banter. Of course, gotta love Pete Sweeney with RJ too. You know, like, Pete only makes it Stats because he's with me, by the way. Like, obviously.
Right.
You know, like,
by association.
Right, exactly. And one last observation. Listening to his voice, as opposed to whatever else I'd be listening to, I'm pretty convinced that RJ is Pete Davidson from SNL. I've never seen the two of them in a room together, so I think I'm pretty safe in my deduction that Pete Davidson uses RJ Ochoa as his fake name to allow him to talk about the NFL on air. That's my theory, and I'm sticking to it. Anyway, great show. 5 stars. I saw this review, Stats, and again, in the interest of full disclosure, sent it to our Slack room and said, do I sound like that? Like that was like how I said the message in my mind. So I put it to you, Stats. Do I sound like Pete Davidson?
I think there's only one way to settle this. We have to get Pete Davidson on the show.
Right. You know, you don't get to hear this all too often, but I, Stats, do a fantastic Russell Wilson impersonation that listeners of the NFC East mixtape get to listen to. In fact, this will make you feel great professionally. BLG said on the mixtape, which everyone can listen to on the blog of the boys, Bleeding Green Nation, Hogs Haven, or Big Blue View podcast networks, that I should have handled the Russell Wilson interview, not you, so that I could have done the impersonation to Russell, and it would have been Russell interviewing Russell. Do you feel bad that I did not, you know, ultimately make that happen because of you?
No, I feel I got to choose who did the Russell Wilson interview. I feel 100% confident in choosing me. So, congratulations.
It's just life's about choices, and you know, I'm about choosing the right way to live, and for me right now, that choice, it's about me and the positive energy in my life. And I'm such a believer in who you surround yourself with, and where you can go, and the
are
places
you
can take yourself.
Are you
you
done,
know what,
Ross?
Stats, you are a student of misery. I hope you know that. There's Kathy Bates and you when you look at misery.
Wow. Okay. Well, I don't know how to make a transition off of that, but I'm going to do my best.
Thank you to Doc Daddy for the review, by the way. Stats and I, look, hey, you know, can you say that we're friends? I just need you to say that really quickly.
Yeah, we're friends.
Okay, so like friends like kind of rib each other, give each other a hard time, like that's what you're doing to me, right? I don't know if you've noticed, but I have something behind me here for the YouTube audience to see. You happen to be a Seattle Mariners fan. This is my Craig Biggio Astros jersey. The Astros are coming off of a series sweep with the Mariners. Did you know that, Stats? Did you watch those games?
When you have to puff out your chest because you beat the Mariners, the team with the longest postseason drought in North American professional
sports. I'm just
saying,
my team swept your team. Like, I'm surprised you didn't show up today in a dustpan. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, maybe if we cheated, we'd be better. Do you have any tips?
Mm-hmm. I've got a lot. I certainly can help you out there.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. Before we get into the thrust of the show today, which is NFL storylines that we are still waiting for a resolution on, I want to remind you that we are brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today. Use code SBNNFL for a special offer when you sign up. That is code SBNNFL only at DraftKings. All right, RJ, there are multiple stories that we're still waiting for a resolution too, one of which got a little update late last night, early this morning, because I don't know if you saw this. This is big news in 49ers land. Debo Samuel is once again following the San Francisco 49ers on Instagram. The ice is beginning to thaw, and I think it's just a matter of when and not if Debo Samuel signs a contract extension with the 49ers.
I think it's interesting that you put it as the ice is beginning to thaw. I don't think it's that as much as, you know, when you were a kid, did you ever grab like a flower and do the she loves me, she loves me not, whatever, like, you know what I'm saying? Like when you had a little crush or whatever, and you would end on a she loves me not, and you're like, well, this flower doesn't count, you know? you'd be like, I actually need a new flower, like to start over. That's where Debo's at. Like, I don't think Debo loves the Niners at all. I don't think the ice is beginning to thaw. I think the draft is over. Any legitimate pathway towards him being on a different team next season is over. And I think he's surrendering, right? Like we see a lot of players surrender like in different capacities, whether they play on the tag or whatever the case may be. They all always show up, but the ice never really thaws. I'm not saying that we are headed for an Earl Thomas double bird, or I think it was a single bird at the Seattle Seahawks situation here. But I think Debo understands this. You know, this is just something he has to go through. If he wants to leave, it's, you know, his options ran dry this offseason. Maybe he got in the game a little bit too late as far as demanding a trade. Maybe he regrets not, you know, stoking the flames a little bit earlier. But I don't think this is like, you know, kumbaya around the campfire sort of situation.
I think it has more to do with money. I think once the money gets worked out, that'll just fix a lot of this. Matt Maiocco, one of the longest tenured beat writers for the 49ers, said that Kyle Shanahan is closer to Debo Samuel than he is with any other player he's ever coached. So that even includes his, you know, first love, Kirk Cousins, which is pretty amazing. So I don't know that he was ever like wanted to get out of San Francisco. I think he likes it there. I think he likes the system. I think he knows that Kyle Shanahan can help him in his career. And so, you know, like they said in Rounders, RJ.
Pay that man his money.
It's pretty simple.
Wow. So I see why you like this new platform a little bit, Stats. I see.
Well, I'm trying to, you know, make the show more interesting for people. Sorry you have a problem.
Well, then ask me to talk more. I mean, I think the solution is clear and obvious.
Yeah, that's the solution. I do want to make one other point with this whole situation. The same reason that the 49ers still have Debo Samuel is the same reason that they haven't traded Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, you can be mad that Garoppolo is still on the team, but without that kind of stubbornness from the 49ers, they don't also still have Debo Samuel. So as frustrating as the Jimmy situation is, it does seem to have helped help them in this scenario. So, you know, that's at least like something that makes the Jimmy situation more tolerable for me.
What I will say is I think every team who traded for a receiver in the offseason, with the exception of the Cleveland Browns and Tennessee Titans, because they paid, you know, very little, you know, relative to the market, at least for Amari Cooper and Robert Woods, respectively. I know Robert Woods coming off the torn ACL, but whatever. But I think every other team is a loser in those trades. I think the Las Vegas Raiders are a loser. I think the Miami Dolphins are a loser. I think the Philadelphia Eagles are perennial losers, but I think that they are losers relative to the AJ Brown trade specifically. I think, like, we are learning, right? Like, people were so quick to say, like, a wide receiver is the new running back, right? Like, as far as, like, approach, whatever. I think, you know, this is Schrodinger's positional evaluation, really what it is. Because wide receiver is the new running back, while also, at the same time, the new quarterback, right? Because some receivers are getting paid that way, but some receivers are also being treated like running backs. It just depends on your team's, like, sort of evaluation on the position. And I think the Packers are winners of the Devontae Adams trade. I think that the Chiefs are winners in the Tyreek Hill trade, and I think that the Titans are winners of the AJ Brown trade, because I don't think there's any way that any of those three receivers, even the ones that are as talented as Devontae Adams and Tyreek Hill, and I think you would agree with me that there's at least some sort of gap between the two of them and AJ Brown, that, like, those receivers cannot live up to the, you know, the cachet that their teams gave up for them will cost. You know what I mean? Like, just, they just can't. Their position is too dependent on something else. And so, and it's too easy to take away by way of double coverage and things like that. And yeah, they'll still win. But I really think, have you done the math on what the Titans wound up with through their whole, like, offseason?
No.
Okay. So I saw this tweet yesterday. I didn't do the math myself. But I saw this tweet from Bob Sturm, who I know you know. I know he's been on Niners Nation. The great Bob Sturm over at The Ticket, and writes for The Athletic, one of the best NFL minds, one of the best Cowboys minds. I'm actually looking for the tweet right now. If you could buy me some time stats, because I thought it was at the top. I'm looking for it. But
well,
do you agree
I disagree with
what I'm
with
saying
you.
In general?
No, I disagree with you. I think the Titans are massive losers in the A.J. Brown trade. And if they weren't paying so much freaking money to Ryan Tannehill, they'd be able to sign A.J. Brown, no problem. That's Tennessee's real problem, is they're paying a ton of money. They're paying a lot of money to a quarterback that is not elite and not capable of producing at an elite level, and it cost them A.J. Brown.
So Tennessee, this is Bob Sturm's tweet. Tennessee in two trades this spring, okay? What they gave up, A.J. Brown, and you also have to factor in the contract that A.J. Brown got. So, like, that was why they had to give him up. So they gave up A.J. Brown, who got a brand new $100 million deal with the Philadelphia Eagles, and a sixth-round pick. That's it. Those are the only two things that the Titans have given up. What they received this year, Robert Woods, okay, who, whatever, fine, but he is under contract for 4 years. Treylon Burks, who's now under contract for a rookie deal, obviously first-round rookie deal, and Jeremy Rucker. That is, like... That's the proper
that
way
is
to
nothing.
Reload. Like,
that's not nothing.
We have no
idea what Burks is. If they hit the jackpot on Burks, you know what he is? He's as good as AJ Brown. Like, so yeah. at minimum, you've maintained where you were at. Robert Woods, give me a break on Robert Woods.
I would rather, if you're not in the business of paying a receiver, and I think it makes sense to not be in the business of paying a receiver, I think that's the way to go. I think that they, you know, kind of like, I don't want to say crack the code, but I do think that they figured things out a little bit. But ultimately, I still don't think that A.J. Brown lives up to what the Philadelphia Eagles paid for him. And I know it wasn't as much as what the Raiders or the Dolphins give up for their receivers, but there's just no way that that can happen. And so that's why I think the Niners are winners here. Like, in this Debo thing, like, he blinked first. You know, like, he did. It takes a lot of stones to be that, you know, ignorant, if you want to call it that, but John Lynch did it. And yeah, he might be pissed off, like, even if I'm right, like, even if it's, or if you're right, it's just a matter of, like, I'm only showing up here because I'm getting paid. Cool, that means nothing when you're scoring touchdowns, right? Like, I'm not enjoying them any less. You know what I mean? So right. I think the Niners are big winners here. I think every team that traded for a receiver and any team that would have traded for Debo Samuel would have been a loser.
I think teams way overvalue draft picks. You say first round draft pick, right? And you're like, ooh, first round draft pick. You attach a name to that draft pick, and all of a sudden you feel a hell of a lot differently about it, right? Solomon Thomas was the third overall pick in the draft. If I told you can get a three overall, you have to give up a three overall, let's say, to get A.J. Brown, you're like, oh, wow, that's a lot. If I tell you got to give up Solomon Thomas to get A.J. Brown, you're like, hell yeah, where do I sign? I think the draft picks are way overvalued. Well, the odds that they work out.
But now that we know who they are, too, like, that makes me feel better about them for the Titans. I think
Why do you have any good feeling about Treylon Burks? We have no idea what he is.
Because you have to understand, and I think you do, that they were not going to pay A.J. Brown. right? Like, and there's legitimate cause and reason to not pay him, right? Because of the positional value at this point, right? Like, you agree with this. It's part of why you were, man, you've like walked back and forth a couple of times. Like, you were starting to be fine with trading Deebo Samuel, right? And he's like a unicorn at the position. Like, AJ Brown isn't even that, you know, like multi-dimensional. So like, we can both understand and agree that like, there was logic and merit to not paying AJ Brown. The Tennessee Titans accepted this. So what did they do? They made lemonade. They reloaded. And you're right. Like, is it a guarantee that, you know, Treylon Burks is going to be AJ Brown? No, obviously not. It's not a guarantee that Chris Olave or Jamison Williams or Garrett Wilson or any of these dudes are going to hit, or Sky Moore or whatever. Like, Jalen Tolbert is obviously going to be the best receiver in the class because the Cowboys drafted him in the third round. But my point is that like, none of them are guarantees in any way, shape, or form. But
AJ Brown's a guarantee.
I don't know that he is. Like maybe he is if he goes to a different offense, but like, he's going to really be worth it on this team in this offense that loves to run the ball. AJ, you hated the way the Titans played. Have you seen the way that Nick Sirianni coaches? Like, you, I understand that, you know, your boys with Jalen Hurts, but have you seen the type of quarterback that he is and the things he's not capable of? You know what I mean? Like, I think it's a sound investment in one way for a different team. But for this team, for the way they play, it's not wise. And something I did say on the NFC's mixtape this week, we've been told, right, and it was reported that kind of the main reason that this whole thing materialized was because of AJ's relationship with Jalen Hurts, right? Who is the one dude that the Eagles are least committed to on their entire roster, right? So, and you know this very well. What happens when the team or the locker room loves the quarterback? Well, that sucks, because now you can't get rid of him because everybody loves him. George Kittle loves Jimmy Garoppolo, on and on and on, whatever. So what's going to happen a year from now when the Eagles are like, yeah, Jalen sucks, because we knew this all along. And AJ's like, well, hold up, dude. That's my guy. Like, that's the whole reason I came here. Like, this is locker room drama waiting to manifest itself.
Boy, you are in such denial because the teams in the NFC East are getting better, and you're worried about your Dallas Cowboys.
The Giants got the two best players on the Cowboys draft board. I'm not in denial at all. I'm just saying, like,
yeah, that was.
I don't think. I know. I mean, look, dude. I mean, we could spend hours on that. I mean, like, I'm spent on that subject. Everybody can check out blogontheboys.com. But so, yeah, the Giants killed the draft. I think the Eagles killed the draft in one sense, but they're not the team to, like, bank on this working, right? Like, they're not. They were the most run-heavy team in the NFL last year, and we're freaking out because they spent a huge price on a wide receiver. Or, like, they have all these resources.
What huge price? They gave up a first and a third. Who cares?
That's a huge price. That's they have. So now they have two, three, if you count Jalen Reagor. They have three first-round picks effectively devoted to the wide receiver position when they love to run the ball. What's more is they now also have a $100 million contract devoted to that position.
It's not really $100 million.
Well, I mean, you get my point. They have a second contract. Like, define it however you want. But, like, that's four different investments. Three first-round picks and a second contract to AJ Brown. That's a lot to invest in a position that this specific team tends to ignore. And so that's why I think the Niners didn't have to spend anything. They didn't have to do anything. They still get Deebo. Niners win. Good for you. Good for you, John Lynch. I think John Lynch deserves an attaboy from Rob Stutzger every once in a while.
I don't know how the Niners get a win for keeping Deebo, the known quantity, but the Eagles don't for getting the known quality in A.J. Brown. Anyway, let's transition because there are other stories we want to get
to. The situations were not apples to apples. That's why. But go ahead.
By the way, the Eagles can also choose to run less next year. Like, they don't have to run the same amount they ran last year.
Great. Go, please run less with Jalen Hurts as your quarterback. I'm begging you, Eagles, to run less with Jalen Hurts as your quarterback.
You are so in denial. Just because I put your Cowboys on the loser list on the off-day debrief this week of draft.
I didn't even know that you did because I don't listen to that stupid show. But, you know, yeah, hey, whatever. Okay. Do what you want to do.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Number two on our stories, we're still waiting to a resolution for a resolution to Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals. I think it's a huge red flag that Kyler Murray holds his breath, stamps his feet, scrubs his social media. His agent releases the War and Peace of statements on Twitter. And the Cardinals' response to that was a collective shrug. They have not made Kyler Murray an offer to continue his relationship with the team. They're just kind of sitting around. And yeah, they traded for his buddy in Hollywood Brown, and that's great. But they also knew that their best wide receiver was getting suspended for 6 games. This Arizona Cardinals Kyler Murray situation, I don't know that the relationship is a long-term thing here.
So I think the biggest loser, like, this whole offseason, like, and I'm talking like the football universe in general, is the Oklahoma Sooners, right? Like, Lincoln Riley leaves and they like throw this huge fit, right? And they're super upset. Like, how dare you leave for Southern California? What could possibly be there that you would enjoy? You know what I mean? Whatever. And like, both of their Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks are kind of proving to be these diva personalities that, you know, they sort of were alleged to be during their time at Oklahoma. No big deal, but a lot of Texas A&M fans kind of knew that about Kyler Murray when he transferred. Just saying. I mean, these are all facts. And so, like, yeah, and I hate this idea. The Cardinals are on my list, man. Like, I got a lot of teams on my list. Right? Like, the Colts are on my list. The Chargers are on my list. The Cardinals. If your name starts with a C, Cowboys, I'm looking at you too, you're on my list. All right? So the Cardinals are like, look, we're all in on Kyler Murray, right? We traded for Hollywood Brown. How much more all in on our quarterback could we be? QB1. I don't know, Cardinals. Maybe you could give him a long-term contract. Like maybe that would be the signal that you are all in on him, not the fact that you traded for his buddy. I do think Kyler strikes me as somebody who, like, I don't remember where I saw this take about Baker, but so forgive me for whoever it was. But somebody was like, you know, Baker's always saying, like, the coach is the issue, et cetera, et cetera. It's like, Baker, you've been a lot of places. Like, are we just supposed to believe that you just have this, like, incredibly unfortunate luck that, like, all of the coaches, all of the systems have, everyone has just treated you poorly? Like, what is the common denominator here, Baker? You know, Baker's like, it's just got to be exactly the way it was in my Heisman Trophy winning season at Oklahoma. And I think Kyler's a similar sort of way. Like, Kyler's like, I just got to have my boys. I got to have my guys. I don't know if you remember this stat, something I've thought a lot about this offseason. You got to interview Russell this year during the Super Bowl, whatever. I got to interview Kyler last year in the lead up to the Super Bowl, and I asked him, obviously, because we were coming off of CeeDee Lamb's rookie year. I asked, like, you know, hey, like, I'm trying to get some content at, you know, or at my site, whatever, blah blah. So, hey, you know, give me some thoughts on CeeDee Lamb's rookie season. He said, you know, I was really hoping we'd draft him. And I really believe that Kyler's like, yeah, you know what? We need all the Sooners. Like, that's what I need. That's how I was successful. I need CeeDee Lamb. I need Hollywood Brown. Kyler, dude, no, like, you're a professional now. Like, you got to play with all these different players. You know, it's silly to me. And I really believe that this was partly, obviously, it was driven by the DeAndre Hopkins suspension, which in and of itself is a massive red flag for the Cardinals organization. Yep. But I believe that they, why, like, Cardinals, why didn't you trade for AJ Brown? Like, I like Hollywood Brown, but, like, that was not the trade to make.
Right, that was the wrong receiver to trade for, especially when, you know, potentially Debo was out there. Now, granted, Niners trading Debo to the Cardinals is probably not going to happen, but there are other guys out there. This is the difference I see between Baker and Kyler. And you, maybe I'm wrong on this. You let me know. I feel like when the chips are down, Baker grinds harder. Baker fights back. When the chips are down with Kyler, he turtles up a little bit, man. He, to me, does not have that same, I don't know what it is. It reminds me of Cam Newton. Like, Cam Newton is the same way. When the chips are down, Cam's on the sideline with the towel over his head. And I don't know if it's just because they're not used to struggling or what, but Baker will fight you. He'll come back harder. And I feel like, look at that playoff game.
Like, Baker's totally caving right now. Like, what do you mean he'll fight? Like, what is he doing that's, like, indicative of that? Like, he's totally, like, you know, I think Cam I think Cam would, you know, Cam might be the most electrifying player of our lifetimes. Like when we look back, like our adult lifetimes, you know what I mean?
What are you, out of your mind?
Peak Cam Newton was this unstoppable force. And so like, I do believe that the like Cam Newton regression into like the towel is literally like Clark Kent going into the phone booth. Like that's how I viewed it. Like before Superman emerged. Like, I just think I get what you're saying. I think Baker's just louder about it. Like all Baker does is like verbalize, like I'm going to grind. Like what is the result of the grind? Well, when have we seen him like grind? Like the night that he first started or came in for Tyrod Taylor against the Jets when they like unlocked the beer fridges or whatever. Like that was it. Why do we associate Baker with grind and, you know, like dirt or whatever? Like why? Like I don't, what evidence is there to support this?
I mean, go look at everywhere he's been. He's come in as a walk-on and he's freaking lit it up. He came in before he was even drafted by the Browns and was like, I'm gonna take this team to the playoffs. And then he did when nobody has been able to take the Browns to the playoffs. So
he also happened to be in a very fortuitous situation in terms of the talent on the Browns roster. And they happen to be in a fortuitous situation in that the Ravens had a regression sort of year. Joe Burrow got injured.
Dude, that's everybody, man. There's always circumstances about everybody.
I don't think he, like, heroically lifted them on his shoulders. Like, I don't – and I'm not saying he, like, was a part of the ride, but, like, he had a huge hand and a huge influence in it. But, I mean, like, this idea that Baker is just, like, this – I know you're not saying this, but, like, this victim when all they've done – like, we look at that Browns roster and we're like, it's loaded, like, quarterback aside, right? Like, that defense is insane. And remember, like, the hype when they traded for Odell? It was like, they did it. They reunited him with Jarvis. They signed Kareem Hunt. They have Nick Chubb. They have, you know, Austin Hooper, right? Like, even Austin Hooper's getting love, whatever. I mean, like, so Baker had his chance. I mean, like, I don't think he's this grinder. I think he just – I think they're the same sort of person in that moment. I think they both turtle up. I think Kyler just is quiet about it. Like, his pouting is internal, whereas Baker's is loud and external.
I have never seen Baker Mayfield go into a shell the way Kyler Murray did in that playoff game against the Rams last year. Kyler looked like he didn't even want to be out on the field. He wanted no part of it. He was beaten. He was beaten mentally in that game. He was not about fighting back. I've never seen that with Baker. That's all I'm saying with Kyler Murray. How do you think that situation gets resolved with Kyler in the Cards? Do you think they eventually work it out?
No. I mean, if they were going to, they would have now, right? Like, this is like... You know, people say a lot, like, you know, you can't be half this. You can't be, like, kind of married. Like, you're either married or you're not, right? Like, so, like, if the Cardinals were really in, like there are two prominent quarterbacks taken in 2019 in the first round, Daniel Jones and Kyler Murray. The Giants made their decision, right? Like, the Giants already said, we're not picking up his fifth-year option. So, like, we're going into a contract year. They've already made their bed. They're lying in it. They're reading a book. They've turned the lights down. They're ready to go to sleep. The Cardinals, meanwhile, like, they're turned to one side of the bed, and Kyler's, like, not even turned to the other side. He's staring at their back and is like, how could you turn away from me? Like, how could you possibly turn
your shoulder? They've at least picked up his option.
I know, but, like, he's eligible for an extension. And the precedent is, like, if you're a baller, if you're legit, if we love you, we're going to give you that extension. And that is a precedent in general, let alone the fact that, like, he's screaming for this extension. And I understand why he is. Like, go get your bag, Kyler. You do not – I think that it's fair to say that Baker Mayfield – like, if I were Baker Mayfield, I would regret not holding out a year ago because that you were never – ever going to have the amount of leverage that you had a year ago, having just resuscitated the Browns, winning a playoff game, et cetera, et cetera. I thought similar things. I don't mean to make this about the Cowboys, but in 2018, the Cowboys traded for Amari Cooper, right? And after that offseason, he was eligible for a new deal. If I had been Amari, I would have held out right then. Because remember, when Amari got to Dallas, he blew up and it was insane and he helped lead them to the playoffs. He never achieved that sort of value in their eyes again. And look at what happened this offseason. So, like, I get it. I mean, like, and fans can say whatever, like, that's unfair, you have a contract, this and that, but if you're a player, you sometimes only have one chance to strike while the iron is hot, and Baker missed his opportunity last year, and I recognize that Kyler's opportunity isn't great given the way this season ended for the Cardinals, but I do understand from a personal standpoint why he's doing it, but I don't think it ends the way he wants it to. I think the Cardinals are ready to call his bluff, and I don't know that I think that's the best decision, but I do think that it's not an unwise one given the way Kyler's played.
The weird thing is, I think both sides of this might be better off not doing an extension. If I'm Kyler Murray, like, why do I want to stick in Arizona? You know, you're in a division with San Francisco. You're in a division with the Rams. Oh, like, plenty of teams in the NFC are going to need a quarterback. The NFC is as weak as it's ever been. If I'm Kyler Murray, like, am I really desperate to stay in Arizona? I don't know. Like, the Giants are going to need a quarterback soon. There are other teams that, like, to me, I'm not necessarily dying to re-sign with Arizona. So if it works out where the Cardinals are like, we don't really think we want to do this, then if I'm Kyler, I'm like, okay, like, don't worry. There's 31 other teams. I'll figure it out.
I think there's no perfect scenario, right, except for getting paid like $1 billion. But if you're Kyler, your fear is Baker, right? Like, your fear is that you have that year and that whatever value you have now is even lower next offseason. It's so, so rare that you can kind of have a bad year, and I'm about to define a bad year in a weird way, and still get the proverbial bag. But you have to have a reputation and a resume that kind of backs it up. And the only recent example, and again, not to make it about the Cowboys, is Dak Prescott, right? Cowboys made him, you know, play out his contract, then franchise tagged him, and on the tag, he gets hurt. And I understand he was blowing it up statistically before he got hurt, but the Cowboys were losing games. And, like, I think more often than not, if that situation happened to other quarterbacks, they probably don't get paid by their teams. But Dak had a resume that supported paying him even before all of that stuff. And so he got, again, the proverbial bag. But Kyler doesn't have that resume. Baker certainly doesn't have that resume. I think this is so awkward and so lame. Like, again, I maintain that the Cardinals are the most insignificant team in the NFL, and so, like, nobody even cares about this. Like, you know, the only I love how JJ Watt's like making TikToks like, look, he's here, and everybody's like, cool, JJ, like, that's fine, like, we don't care, like, we're more interested in, like, the whole Kenny Pickett, you know, he's at Pitt and not Pittsburgh thing, like, we'll pay
JJ
more attention to that.
JJ is just the worst. He's the worst on social media, like, no thanks, dude. Same guy was trying to tell me that Kyler scrubbing his social media wasn't a big deal. And then, like, 2 days later, his agent was like, we want a new contract. Like, I'm all set with J.J. Watt. No thanks, dude. All right. This was another one on your list that kind of surprised me. You had Sean Payton to land a TV home. We are waiting for a resolution to Sean Payton. I don't think that's the real resolution to that. I think that the real resolution is Sean Payton to get back into the NFL. And, look, we know that there was a plan to try and get him to Miami. I think that that's the real resolution, and honestly, I think it's going to happen after this season when your Dallas Cowboys fire Mike McCarthy and Jerry Jones finally gets the coach that he has been pining after for years.
I mostly believe theories like this are stupid, right? Like, oh, they're just setting McCarthy up to fail, you know, so you can fail, they can fire him, whatever. I'm upset to say, Stats, that the Cowboys have acted in a way this offseason that, like, forces me to believe that that is a legitimate possibility.
Right, they're worse. They're worse
than
they were last year.
Again, those are the types of things that, like, when people say, I, like, roll my eyes, I'm like, just come on. Like, you know, this is so silly. This is so dumb, whatever. But I have no choice but to, you know, give it legitimate life, right? Like, because that's the way that they've acted over the course of this offseason. But I do think it's interesting because all we heard was that he's going to do television, blah, 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 blah. And we have not heard of a home, right? I have one theory. I did not tell it to you when I sent you this list because, you know, save it for the pod. So there's been a lot of movement, and we talked about this on a previous episode of The Look Ahead, right? So Sunday Night Football is looking very different. We finally got Tirico in the big chair, Chris Collinsworth, Melissa Stark, the, like, OG GOAT when it comes to sideline reporters, right? We've got CBS untouched, right? Jim Nantz, Tony Romo, Trace Wolfson, great. We've got Monday Night Football, looks very different. Buck Troy and Lisa Salter is maintaining her post there. Fox, we know that friend of the SB Nation NFL show, Aaron Andrews, is going to be the sideline reporter, at least we presume, right? We know that, you know, Kevin Burkhardt's going to be the top play-by-play man, which I'm excited about, right? Maybe, you know, let's get Kevin on the show. Yeah, let's talk about it with him. We do not know who Fox's top color analyst is going to be, right? Like, we presume Aaron Andrews is going to be the sideline reporter. I don't think that's been officially announced. But so we're technically awaiting those two gaps. If we look at the four major networks that broadcast NFL, you know, games and their top crews, CBS, NBC, ESPN, Fox, the only one that is not finalized yet, happens to be the one that has the freaking Super Bowl this year in Fox. And so if we presume again that, you know, they're obviously going to have to undergo some sort of change because Buck and Troy are gone. Kevin Burkhardt's awesome. I think he can trust him, whatever. And if Aaron Andrews comes back, great. You have that continuity. But who's your color analyst? And I'm certainly fine with it being Greg Olsen. I know I said many times that he was the best color analyst in the NFL last year. But is he a big enough name if you're Fox? Is he a big enough name to give you the juice that you need the year you have the Super Bowl? Or do you go after Sean Payton? But do you go after Sean Payton and have him call this season for you and have him call the Super Bowl and then walk away, you know, to a team whose games you're going to have a lot of the following year in the Cowboys, presumably? I mean, like, so I think that I think Fox is in a hard spot, you know, with him. And I think Sean knows that. Sean's really good at leveraging things against one another. I know you know that as his biggest fan. So I think that that's what we're waiting on. My prediction is he is the top color analyst on Fox and is calling the Super Bowl this year.
So there was a report last week that Sean Payton was nearing a deal with Fox to be a studio analyst, not a game analyst, a studio analyst. We'll personally, if I was Fox, I would go Greg Olson or Mark Schlereth. I think Mark Schlereth is awesome as an analyst.
Mark's great. I just
multiple, you know, Super Bowl, also friend of the SB Nation NFL show, by the way.
That's right. Both good options here in Greg and Mark, totally.
Yes. I will work on Kevin Burkhart, by the way, just for you.
We're going to ask him about the Astros sweeping the Mariners.
I think that I'm going to ignore that. I think that this is a total stopgap for Sean Payton. Even if they made him the number one game analyst, I think he wants to coach. He said it when he left the Saints in his press conference. I'm going to return to coaching soon. Like, he didn't even pretend like this was a real retirement. He wanted to get out of New Orleans. I think that's really what it is. The bill came due on the credit cards that he's been ringing up for years, trying to, you know, go for it, win a Super Bowl with Drew Brees. He wanted no part of that. There's no quarterback plan in New Orleans right now. I don't know what the hell they did in their draft. They acted like Drew Brees was still there. There's no plan. He was like, I'm getting out of this situation. So he bailed. And yeah, you'll have to trade for him because of he still have his rights, this, that, and the other thing. Whatever. Teams will work it out. But the real end game for Sean Payton is getting back in the NFL. I think it's getting with your Dallas Cowboys. And I agree with you. I didn't really put that together until you said it. But the Cowboys have seemingly done everything they can do this offseason to make it harder for Mike McCarthy to have a good season in 2022.
I will say, thank you, Bear. It would be really funny if Sean Payton got a number one analyst job before Drew Brees did, especially because that's like Drew's been after. Because didn't Drew have Bear? It's cool. I promise. Didn't Drew have like a deal with NBC like while he was still playing? You know what I mean? Like it was.
Yeah,
he was,
I think
already,
he did
like,
agree
on,
like his last
right.
year in the league.
So
yeah.
Like. Drew was like ahead of this, had like a big like 10, 20 year plan. Tony Romo comes in, he's like, what the hell? Like, it's that easy? Like, whoa. Like, you know what I mean? And I think Sean, like, if you're Fox, like, again, now your stats, you're in charge of Fox. Like, forget football. Sean Payton would be an awesome number one color analyst, right? But there is the risk of him leaving you after this season, and then you're ESPN, right? Like, and you have the perception of like you're just bringing different dudes in, whatever, blah blah blah. Even if you maintain the continuity, like, and I think you have to have Aaron Andrews, or else you have an entirely new crew that might have another change next year. So that being said, if you're the question I wanted to ask, if you're Fox and you have to pair one or you have to put one person with KB and Aaron Andrews, would you rather it be Sean Payton or would you rather it be Drew Brees? Because there's been all the chatter, too, that Fox could trade for Drew Brees.
Yeah, I guess Brees. Here's the thing. I don't know that either one of them is going to be a good game analyst.
I would much rather have
Sean. We have no idea if Sean Payton can be a good game analyst. We have no
clue. We know that Drew Brees cannot, though. Drew Brees is so boring.
Bill Walsh and Joe Montana were not good game analysts. Like, just because you were great at one job, it's a different job altogether. You have to be able to notice things quickly on the fly. You have to be able to get your points in between snaps, speak in like 30-second sound bites. It's really, really difficult. And you can't just assume that these guys are going to be good. A lot of times, like we were just talking about with Greg Olson, although Greg Olson was a very good player, Mark Schlereth's not a Hall of Fame player. He's a great analyst. A lot of times the best analysts are the players that didn't necessarily have the most successful careers. Look at Chris Collinsworth. Chris Collinsworth wasn't a bad player by any stretch, but he's not a Hall of Famer. Drew Brees is an inner circle, walk in the Hall of Fame the second he's eligible player. So I don't know.
So what you're saying is the Hall of Fame player who's also a Hall of Fame analyst is the true GOAT, which means Troy Aikman is the GOAT. Interesting. Your words, not mine.
I literally never said any of that, so I don't know what words you're pulling, but
my point is, if I was, I think Drew Brees would be a little bit salty if Sean Payton got a number one gig before him, because he's been working on this for a while.
Aikman is a rarity, though. I have to say, like, the really, really great player who is a really, really good analyst. That's not the case. Go look at, and it's not just football. Go look at any of the sports. It applies to everybody.
Grant Hill's kind of in that mold. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but his career was.
I think that this is unfair. It's not the same thing. It's not apples to apples. I think there are more golfers who were great players that are now great analysts, but it's different. It's kind of like people. I know this was floating around last week when people were like, there are more undrafted free agents in the Hall of Fame than there are.
That
number
was
one
such a
picks.
Dumb tweet. Of course there
yeah,
are.
I
There's
wonder
more
why.
Undrafted free agents.
There's like 5 million more undrafted free agents than there are number one overall picks.
I immediately called him out on that.
Yeah. I have one more on this list. I know it was a list of five, but I know we're running long. Do you want to hear my last one?
Well, is it the one that pertains to Fox a little bit? Because that's the one I wanted to get to.
We can do that, and then I'll slip the other one at the end. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So the last one on your list was Urban Meyer's tell-all where he trashes the Jaguars team. And this relates
that's
to
coming.
Fox because Fox is considering hiring Urban Meyer as an analyst. And like, what, Fox, what the hell are you doing? How does this guy has no credibility left whatsoever. He has no credibility to criticize anybody's leadership, to criticize anybody's coaching, to criticize anybody's culture building, whatever it is. Urban Meyer doesn't have a leg to stand on. Yet this is the guy you want to hire? It's bad enough he covered up sexual assault when he was in college football. Now he kicked a player in the NFL and allegedly told his white quarterback that he needs to explain plays slower to his black teammates. That's the guy you want to hire?
He also hired an incredibly controversial strength and conditioning coach, like literally among his first days on the job.
And then
and
had to
also
fire him.
Left his and let his team fly home without him in the name of participating in his own ventures.
He had some woman that wasn't his wife dancing all up on him. Like we could say what happened. It's absurd.
Right. I mean, no. So, but the point I brought up here in terms of like the theme of today's episode is like things that were like kind of waiting to happen, and sort of predicting that will happen. Is there have been a lot of justifiable shots taken at the Urban Meyer era in Jacksonville, right? Like all sorts of people coming out. He wasn't doing this. He didn't. There was the big expose that he didn't know who Aaron Donald was. That's the one. Like I'm not at all caping for Urban Meyer, but like I refuse to believe that. Like there's just it's impossible. It's truly impossible that he would not know who Aaron Donald is. And the comedy of like him watching film and like who's this 99 guy? Like we gotta take care
this
of him. Like,
you know, like
it's impossible. But anyway. Something that I really believe is coming, and that's just because this is the way things like this tend to go. We are getting the Urban Meyer tell-all. Like he's gonna sit down on some podcast or some like 60 Minutes type program and give his side of the story. Like Urban has watched everybody take their turn. Urban has watched everybody get in line and say what they have had to say about him. Again, all justifiably so, but Urban is an attention magnet, right? Like, and that's why Fox is interested in him. Like, we could be blunt about that. And Urban's going to sit down, and there are people who are like worried about, like, well, I don't want to burn any bridges. Urban's about to set these bridges on fire. Like, Urban is about to, like, obliterate these bridges. I think Shad Khan is going to be involved. I think Trevor Lawrence is going to be like, Trevor didn't even want to work, didn't want to practice. Like, it's going to be like a, and I hate to bring this up, but like a Mike McCarthy level of getting massages type of sort of like indictment on different people and players and coaches, et cetera.
Well, let me be clear. There is plenty to criticize the Jaguars organization for. They largely have had like two good seasons. The year they made the AFC Championship game in their second year of existence, and then the Blake Bortles year where inexplicably he threw for like 30-something touchdown passes and they lost to the Patriots. Other than that, they basically haven't been very good for most of their existence. So you can criticize them for a lot of stuff. There was the Tom Coughlin stuff, like how involved was he when he wasn't the head coach? All a bunch of stuff, for sure. And I'm sure that they did stupid things while Urban was there that were not his fault. But I just have no tolerance
the Jaguars
for anything
most,
Urban
like,
Meyer.
The notable contribution to society, maybe in their existence, has been being a punchline on The Good Place. That's it. Like that's all the Jaguars have done that has allowed us to experience any sort of joy. You know what I mean?
Nope. Like, you know what else they do? You know what else they do that I like? In December, they put the Santa hat on the Jaguars midfield logo, and I look forward to it every year.
Wait, what? You're saying at midfield?
Yeah.
During Jaguars home games, I've never noticed this before. Like I pride myself on noticing these tiny little.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Hang on.
They put a Santa hat on the logo at midfield. It's really cool. I love it. How have you never noticed this before?
Holy crap. Okay, this seems to be a thing of the past. It's not like an active thing anymore.
They stopped?
Yeah, the thing I'm looking at here is a report from, I don't know where this is, but it says that they used to do this. And this is like a really grainy image. So like might have been like a late 90s, early 2000s thing. But that looks cool.
It's great. Like, you know me. I'm a sucker for all the Christmas holiday, Christmas lights, graphics.
I'm always on Christmas lights around the score bug watch.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, I always love that. But yeah, that would be cool. But again, if we could do a whole show on this. Like, Bengals, stop using the B. Did I tell you that I told you who my favorite or my least favorite logo was in Major League Baseball, right?
Yeah, I don't remember what it was, though.
It's the Rockies. Because
oh, right.
If you look at every logo in baseball that features letters, right? Like the Dodgers logo is LA. Like they're all letters for their city. Except for, did you know the Padres logo has a P in it? This is like a thing going around. Did you know this?
The SDP?
It's an SD, but like in the front half of the D, like look it up right now. There's a P like hidden in there. But that's fine. Like you're baking it in. I'm cool with that. You know what I mean? But Rockies, go with a C. We don't need an R. Nobody needs to, like, the letter for your mascot does not mean anything. Bengals, same with you. The B is so stupid. And what I'll at least give the Rockies is, like, technically your logo would be just, like, a silhouette of mountains. And I love the other logo they have where it's, like, the mountains behind the word Rockies. That's great. But Bengals, you have a freaking tiger. Like, you know what I mean? Like, use that thing. Like, work with what you got, Bengals. So, yeah, I'm on that watch, too. Like, and the Jaguars are lucky that Jaguar starts with a J, just like Jacksonville. So if they ever did something there, they'd be safe.
Well, they haven't done much right. And the Urban Meyer tell-all might be coming, but I'm not necessarily going to read it.
You got my last one?
Oh, you want to squeeze it in here? Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I want to squeeze it in like the Padres with the P. But so I think that we're still a little early, but we're a few months away. And I know that they drafted Kenny Pickett. Well, actually, first thing, I didn't tell you this. There are some fan bases, and I say this with total love and admiration, that when their team is good, are annoying as hell. And the Steelers are one of them. Like, when their team is good and in the mix, like, their fans are so loud. And I love that. Like, I respect that so much. But the Steelers are, like, soaking wet with stories. Do you know how many sets of brothers they have on their team after drafting Cam Hayward's brother?
Three.
They have three sets of brothers on their team. That's, like, that's going to be in Football Morning in America at some point this offseason, right? Like, it's going to be this, like, headline of, like, brother, you know.
Football's family.
It's going to be that. It's going to be like, you know, they say the city of brotherly love is in a different city in Pennsylvania, but it's actually in Pittsburgh. but anyway, so they've got that. They've got the Kenny Pickett thing and the PID and that was in Football Morning in America, like his whole football life. Kenny Pickett has gone in on the door on the right and now he'll have to go in the door on the left. Yeah, like, we get it. Like, they share a facility. It's cool. We've all heard this story. You know, Ryan Fitzpatrick went to Harvard. Antonio Gates played basketball in college. Like, we don't have to relitigate this every single time. Now we've also got the Pickens thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's obnoxious. So, like, the Steelers are going to be, like, in the news a lot. Like, and it's going to be Mike Tomlin's back, blah, blah, blah. And good for Mike Tomlin. But, Stats, a few months from now, we are going to get something. And it's going to be, like, a small thing, like a local news or a local newspaper that has an interview with Ben Roethlisberger where he says that he's thinking about playing again. That competitive fire just doesn't go away. That he knows what Kenny Pickett's got going on, but he's been mulling it over and thinking it over. He's in great shape. He feels like he's 27 again, and he can go out there and he can start and help an NFL team. That is coming around the bend, baby. Lock it up.
I think it's only coming if the Steelers start winning. If the Steelers start winning,
it's coming around training camp. That's my thought.
I don't think so. I think he wants to come back to like a really good team where he could kind of Jimmy Garoppolo his way to like a playoff run where he could just be along for the ride. And he's done, man. He is cooked. Some guys like Brady, whenever he retires, you're going to be like, whatever.
Which he already did.
That dude is good. Like he was good. He could still play. I think Romo still had the physical ability to play when he retired.
Oh, I 1,000,000% disagree. Like his body couldn't stand it anymore.
Well, he got injured, but in terms of like, can he still throw? Like, yeah, he could still throw.
Yeah, but he could throw like, you know, in the backyard, but he couldn't like handle NFL linemen coming for him every play. That's my point.
Like Dan Marino, like now can still throw. He can't do anything else, but like he could still, Ben cannot throw. Like he, it's just gone. Same thing with Peyton Manning by the end. Like, it's just not in him anymore to do that. That doesn't change no matter how good the rest of his body feels. But yeah, I agree with you. I wouldn't be stunned at all to start hearing Ben Roethlisberger like, oh, I feel better than I ever. Best shape of my life. That's always the line, right? I'm in the best shape of my life. Yeah, no thanks, Ben. Adios.
I don't think it'll be that. I think it'll be, I feel better than I have in a really long time. That's the verbiage we're looking for. I feel better than I have in a really long time. And then we're going to get like a video, like maybe he's going to go to Steelers camp or something for like a day so that like he can experience the like adoration of people cheering for him. And he's going to throw a pass to like, you know, Chase Claypool or something like that. People are going to be like, he still got it. You know,
there'll
like,
be three
wow,
throws
you know?
That they put in the B-roll pass.
Right, exactly. And it'll
uses.
Be like, Ben, wow. I mean, like, yep. And then the takes will be like, tell me the you know, tell me the Lions couldn't use Ben Roethlisberger, you know, whatever, something like that. Right. Like it'll be out there. Like it's coming. It's lurking.
Last thing I want to squeeze in on Ben, he is the rare Hall of Fame player who has not been like the grinder, the all-in. Like, who is it? Bubba Watson, like, never had a golf lesson in his life, and he's winning green jackets. Like, Ben Roethlisberger never gave a crap about his diet, never worked on his mechanics, never did any of that stuff in the offseason that all these quarterbacks do, and he is a no-doubt Hall of Fame quarterback. It's amazing to me, and we know this because Ben admitted it in his last couple seasons. He's like, yeah, you know, I actually started working out this offseason, and I feel really good going. It's like, yeah, Ben, no crap. That's usually what you're supposed to do. But he just went out there with, like, his raw, natural talent, and he was a stud for an incredibly long time, and that is so ultra-rare, especially in his sport, especially at his position.
Well, it's Kenny Pickett's team now. Ben who? Like Ben, right. Ben who? You know?
Kenny Pickett. You know. I don't know any Steelers fans that are happy about it.
Seriously.
Just say that.
I mean, that would be so just like we don't have to hear every time that they share a facility. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
we will forever. Get ready for this year. It's every game, especially the national games. That's going to be a feature. There will be a graphic. There will be a thing. Every national game the Steelers have.
That is like, that is a low key, super annoying thing for like each individual fan base. Cause you've heard a story a million times, but then like when ESPN parachutes in for your Monday night, like, and that was as just to use the Cowboys as an example, every new crew talked about Dak Prescott's road to recovery, showed the ankle injury, talked about the contract. It was like, we know we have lived this. And like, it's one thing if you're doing, like, I don't know, a Vikings game for the first time in forever. Everybody watches the Cowboys. Everybody watches the Steelers. Everybody watches the Packers. Like, everybody is going to be aware of this story. The only team that not everybody watches is the San Francisco 49ers. Because they play on the West Coast. It's weird. The times suck. Whatever. Blah, blah.
The two stories for the Niners where they did that is the Nick Bosa, Joey Bosa. Like, I don't know if you've heard that Nick Bosa's brother plays in the NFL.
And George Kittle's father's letters that he writes him.
No, although that's close. I was going to say the Jimmy Garoppolo breaking the records of Sean Payton and Tony Romo in college.
Yeah, that one's. And then, like, you can just hear, like, the color analyst, like, those are, you know, those are two pretty good guys, you know, to break the records for there. I mean, this guy's pretty good, you know. It's like, but the letters thing, again, like, cool. Thank you for telling us this. It's a cool story, but somebody else told it. You know, let's find
right.
You know, he likes wrestling. Let's do that. You know, like,
we have it now.
And literally anything else. So, yeah,
do better NFL coverage. But what can you expect when look?
Well, when we have Kevin Burkhardt on, which Stats promised to make happen, we'll talk to him.
Yep,
about this.
I will make it happen. That's what happens when you got these, you know, national outlets that are broadcast partners of the league. They like to shovel these good stories over and over again down our throat. We don't have to worry about that here at SB Nation. We tell you the truth. RJ,
the
I
most
hope you have
obnoxious one that's going to happen this year, like the story that's going to get told is Russell Wilson's like trade. And like, it was funny when people were like, what's the new phrase going to be? Blah, blah, blah. And I have gotten a lot of material out of that, again, with the impression. But like, now everybody's too aware of the impression thing. And so like, now everyone's like, come on, Russell, say it. You know, and he's like, Broncos country. That's right. Like, I think Russell hates it now. Like Russell's like, I'm not just like this puppet. Like, you know, like I don't just
he
like
is,
sing
though.
And dance on command.
He kind of,
I mean,
does.
But my point is like, it's there's gonna be like the cartoony graphics on every broadcast that's gonna say like, and it's gonna be like versions of like, like riding to wins, or like, you know, like riding into victory. God. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be plays off of riding like that because of the phrase that Russell Wilson coined.
I agree. You know what? Next week, the look ahead is entirely a show about that. The stories that are coming that are going to annoy
the hell out of us.
You
know, stats, you know, all stories are always happening. And that's, and, you know, this thing, like my production companies, you know, we look to tell stories that no one's ever told before, because there's so many fascinating people in this world. And, you know, we just want to shed light on that. And, you know, sometimes you got to know when the time to go is and when the time to fold is. And for
enjoy
me,
enjoy your
you know,
week, everybody.
Broncos country.
For RJ Ochoa.
That's right.
I'm Rob Stats Carrera. Have a good one.
Support for this show comes from Fundrise. Buy low, sell high. It's easy to say, hard to do. For example, high interest rates are crushing the real estate market right now. Demand is dropping and prices are falling, even for many of the best assets. It's no wonder the Fundrise Flagship Fund plans to go on a buying spree, expanding its billion-dollar real estate portfolio over the next few months. You can add the Fundrise Flagship Fund to your portfolio in just minutes, and with as little as $10, by visiting fundrise.com/fox. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the Fundrise Flagship Fund before investing. This and other information can be found in the fund's prospectus at fundrise.com/flagship. This is a paid advertisement.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle, it's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.